Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, our gospel reading ended with one of the most well-known passages in all of the Bible, John 3:16. Even casual sports fans are familiar with this verse. I remember when I was in college sitting at the end zone, and every now and then when the extra point would just be about to be kicked, the sign would come up, John 3:16. One wonders how many people actually took the time to look up the verse in the middle of the game. But nevertheless, in John 3:16, we do have the gospel in summary. And I'd like to reflect on that a little bit this morning as we continue our journey through Lent. Over the next 4 weeks, the gospel readings all come from John, and they tell stories of Jesus interacting with individuals. We're going to learn a lot about Jesus, how he interacts with people, all sorts of different people. Today, he interacts with Nicodemus, who is a religious leader. And Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. Now, why did Nicodemus come at night? Was it because he was nervous? He didn't want anybody to know he was there? Or, as John often does, is night a theological statement? Is Nicodemus literally in the dark about Jesus' identity when Nicodemus comes? Is that why Nicodemus is coming at night? Is that why John makes the point that Nicodemus came to Jesus at night? But Nicodemus starts by praising Jesus, calls him rabbi, which was a title for the teacher, the well-respected teacher of the community. We know that you're a teacher sent by God, for no one could do the signs that you do unless God was with him. So Nicodemus is acknowledging the signs that Jesus had been doing, healing, deliverance, those sorts of things. They speak that Jesus has come from God. But notice that Jesus doesn't seem to even acknowledge Nicodemus' statement. He cuts to the chase. You can't see the kingdom of God unless you are born from above. Now, all throughout Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which we call the Synoptic Gospels, Jesus speaks of the kingdom of God over and over again. But this is the only time in John's Gospel, in verse 3 and verse 5, where Jesus talks about the kingdom of God. So it's interesting, this is an important thing that Jesus is trying to get across to Nicodemus. You can't see the kingdom of God unless you've been born from above. That word translated from above in our text today, anothen in Greek, it has two meanings. You can read it as from above, but you can also read it as the King James Version does, as again. This is where the phrase born again comes from. And again, in John's Gospel, John often has people who interact with Jesus hear Jesus on one level, on a physical level, on a human level, when Jesus is meaning to elevate the discourse, sometimes literally elevate the discourse, talking about hunger and sight and thirst. So Nicodemus hears Jesus say, you must be born again. In other words, you must be born a second time. You must have another physical birth. And Nicodemus rightly says that's impossible. But Jesus is actually trying to get him to hear, you must be born from above. You must have a different kind of birth. You must have a spiritual birth. And Jesus connects the new birth, the birth from above, to the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, unless you've been born of water and the Spirit, you will not see the kingdom of God. And then Jesus again does this wordplay. The wind blows where it wills. We don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone that's been born of the Spirit of God. But the word in Greek, pneuma, same thing in Hebrew, ruach, spirit, can also mean wind, can also mean breath. And so there's a wordplay here that the birth that the Holy Spirit brings, it's like the wind. You feel the wind, you see the effects of the wind, but you don't know where the wind comes from, you don't know where it's going. It's a mystery how people are born from above. It's a mystery how people are born of the Spirit. And so, again, Nicodemus, a religious teacher, he's a religious leader. He studied. He knows the scriptures. He knows the texts. He's well respected. But what Jesus is communicating to Nicodemus here is that apart from the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit, Nicodemus will not be able to grasp the reality of who Jesus is. Nicodemus has praised Jesus as a teacher. He's praised Jesus as a miracle worker. But again, Moses was a teacher. Moses was a miracle worker. Elijah were miracle workers. Jesus is saying, apart from the Holy Spirit, you're not going to be able to recognize and you're not going to be able to understand who I really am. But the secret to understanding and to experiencing the kingdom of God is to be born from above, born anew. But this is the mysterious work of the Holy Spirit. All your religious learning, all your religious practice, all your religious knowledge does not get you over that line. It's only by the work of the Spirit. So you see that Jesus here is working with Nicodemus. He's meeting Nicodemus where he is. Because Nicodemus, again, it seems like his heart is favorably inclined toward Jesus, which is a lot more than we could say of other religious leaders who interacted with Jesus. But Jesus knew that the temptation for Nicodemus was going to be to rely on his learning and on his piety to experience the kingdom of God. But Jesus is saying, no, it's only through the supernatural, mysterious work of the Holy Spirit that you're able to enter the kingdom of God. So all your religious learning, in that sense, is simply meaningless. If you apply your religious learning and your piety toward the mysterious work of the Spirit in the kingdom of God, then that's great, and that's something that we should all do. But apart from the mysterious work of the Spirit, apart from the presence of Jesus, the kingdom of God is simply unenterable, Jesus is saying to Nicodemus. And then, after Jesus and Nicodemus have this exchange that leaves Nicodemus throwing up his hands and saying, you don't want me to get back into my mother's womb, do you? Is that what you're saying? How can these things be? And Jesus says, you're right. You're a teacher of Israel, and you can't understand these things. And I'm even speaking to you of earthly things when I speak to you of heavenly things. How will you understand? And then Jesus pivots, and he begins to talk about Moses and the serpent in the wilderness. And this is a strange story from Numbers chapter 21. I'm sure you've spent a lot of time reading Numbers. But in Numbers chapter 21, the people of Israel are wandering. I don't mean to make light of Numbers. You really ought to read it, actually. You really, the whole Pentateuch, Genesis through Deuteronomy, you learn so much about God and about God's people and the experiences of God's people. And it helps us, gives us a lens through which to understand the ministry of Jesus and our own life in the wilderness, so to speak. So the people of Israel are wandering in the wilderness, and they're grumbling, as they often were, and they're complaining about Moses, and they're complaining to God, and they're saying, why did we ever do this? We should have stayed in Egypt. Moses doesn't know what he's doing. We're mad. We're hungry. We're tired. We're thirsty. Get us out of here, kind of stuff. So suddenly snakes come, poisonous snakes, and they start biting people, and the people start dying. And then the people cry out to God, oh, God, hey, I take back those complaints. Can you get us out of this jam right here? And God says to Moses, build a bronze serpent, wrap it around a pole, and lift it up. And when people look at that serpent, they'll be healed. Now, why in the world God chose to do it this way, I have no idea. But nevertheless, Moses built the serpent, and when he lifted it up, and people who were dying put their eyes on that serpent, they were given their life. And Jesus is saying, in the same way, the Son of Man is going to be lifted up. And when Jesus is talking about the Son of Man, he's making a biblical allusion. If you read Daniel chapter 7, we read that one like the Son of Man is seated at the right hand of the Ancient of Days. So this is an allusion to the Messiah, the messianic work of God. And so when the Son of Man, the Messiah, is lifted up, and that's the image from Daniel 7, that the Son of Man, one like the Son of Man, was going to go and ascend to the right hand of the Ancient of Days. And so when the Son of Man is lifted up, Jesus is saying, then people will experience salvation. Jesus is identifying himself with the Son of Man, and he's saying that he is going to be lifted up. Now, it's interesting, throughout John's Gospel, Jesus talks about himself being lifted up. And what does he mean when he's saying that? Is he talking about the cross? Is he talking about the ascension? Is he talking about the resurrection? And the answer, of course, is yes. John looks at Jesus' crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension as a single event. This is the means by which God is bringing eternal life to his people, through Jesus' crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. The Son of Man is going to be lifted up. But again, this is one of those things that Nicodemus, with all of his learning and all of his piety, could not have surmised by himself. It takes a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit to bring somebody to the place where they look on Jesus on the cross as the means by which God is bringing salvation to the world. Just like it takes a lot of faith to believe that looking at a bronze serpent will bring healing to one's body. And so the Son of Man is going to be lifted up. And the result is that when people look on the Son of Man with faith, they'll receive eternal life. Now, I mentioned earlier that in John's Gospel, Jesus only speaks of the kingdom of God here in this section. But all throughout the Gospel of John, Jesus talks about eternal life. And it's important that we understand eternal life as something that doesn't happen when we die, but something that begins to happen when the Holy Spirit mysteriously works in our hearts and brings us to faith. Then we begin to see the kingdom of God, and we begin to experience eternal life. Dallas Willard famously said, "Jesus came to give us eternal life, and it starts right now." And so eternal life is not something that only happens when we die, but something that we can know even now. And that gets us finally to verse 16, "For God so loved the world." The word translated "so" is the Greek word "houtos," which means "in this way." It's not "God loved the world so much," although that's true, but "God loved the world in this way." How did God love the world? In a very specific way, that he gave the only begotten Son. Only begotten is an important word. It echoes Psalm 2 when God says to the Son, "You are my Son, this day have I begotten you." This is the King of Israel that Jesus is talking about, the only begotten. So God loved the world in a very specific way. He gave the only begotten Son that whosoever would believe in him should not perish or be destroyed, but rather have eternal life. And the kind of eternal life that Jesus came to bring us can begin even today. And so, why do we read this story during Lent? And I believe that it's a word to people like us who get up early every Sunday morning and put on nice clothes and come to church. We probably read the Bible. We probably pray. It's a reminder to us that apart from the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit, all of our learning, all of our piety, all of our activity are meaningless. This is the message to Nicodemus. But if we're willing to embrace that, which is difficult for us to embrace sometimes, then we find that the Spirit, like the wind, comes and begins to enliven our heart and begins to point our eyes, to fix our gaze on Jesus, who has been lifted up, on the cross, in the resurrection, and in the ascension. And as the Holy Spirit fixes our gaze on Jesus, we begin to experience that eternal life that Jesus and his Father long to give us, where we know forgiveness, where we know reconciliation, where we're given a vocation, a purpose, a high calling. And so as we continue to worship this morning, hear Jesus' word to Nicodemus, that apart from the supernatural work of the Spirit, we simply cannot enter the kingdom of God. And yet all the while, the kingdom of God is open right before us. But it's only through the work of the Spirit, fixing our gaze on Jesus who's been lifted up. And the Father then delights to give us that eternal life. Amen.